that was the moment where I went, there's got to be a better way to do this thing. Yeah. Life, business, you know, personally and business.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives, and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential.
Erin Mack is a coach, author, and the Joy Slinger, who teaches entrepreneurs and leaders to create joy in their lives. In 2000, Erin Mack moved from San Francisco to Hawaii to ease her stress and anxiety. However, she discovered she needed more than a change of location. She needed to change her mindset. Erin began her journey of spiritual growth, reading A Course in Miracles and attending self-development workshops. After earning her Infinite Possibilities Trainer certification, she launched her coaching practice and has been helping people lead joyful lives.
Hi, Erin Mack. Erin Mack. I like the ring of that. It's nice. That like one syllable last name that just kind of Erin Mack, right? So Erin, tell us about your path to business coaching and entrepreneurship, because it's through this that you have now turned into a joyologist or a joytologist or...
Ooh, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to say joy slinger.
Joy slinger. I love that's even better. So first tell us a little bit about your background as probably start as entrepreneur, right? Then business coaching.
Yeah. So I started, I had kind of a moment in life and I decided I was going to move to someplace that was a simpler life. Mm-hmm. And not recognizing that I was still going to be there. So all the challenges that I had in the more complex life, I brought to the simpler life. Only to say that, you know, that is kind of what we do. It's we like to think that if we move or go someplace else that, you know, things will change. But actually what happens is you're still there. So, yeah. So I had an anxiety disorder that had me hold up for about a year in my home. And through that, navigating that, I started to recognize, I was able to get the chemistry piece all worked out in terms of I was referred to a homeopathic psychiatrist. She gave me a remedy. The chemistry part of the anxiety went away, but the mental, emotional, spiritual part of it was still alive and well. So I moved to a small town thinking it would go away and it didn't. Mm-hmm. So I started, a business as soon as I moved to this small town. And in that business, I created all the same things all over again, right? Stress, anxiety, overwhelm. And I, you know, started this construction cleaning business and I had no idea of what I was doing. I'd never had a business before. I had, prior to that, was a special ed teacher. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll just do like I always do. I'll just sort of roll with it and go and hope that things work out. And as it did, my business just took off. And so through that process of, you know, learning all the new things. And I mean, as entrepreneurs, we do all the things, right? We do bookkeeping and sales and, you know, navigating people and emotions, clients and employees. And so I went within 18 months, I had this huge business. I had 20 plus employees. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, multiple six figure contracts.
Erin, this was construction, you said?
Construction cleaning. So yeah, coming in when construction is finished, wiping everything down, making it usable space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also had no business doing cleaning or, so, you know, I've always sort of done these sorts of things, but in terms of, you know, business, like being an entrepreneur, that was not something that I had done before. And so I didn't know all those things. And so I created stress and anxiety and all of that. And about 10 years into my business, I had like an awakening moment where I nearly killed somebody with my car. And it was because I was frantic about a client complaining. She had called and complained, and I couldn't figure out, you know, how to fix the problem. So I said I'd be right over. And in my rush to come right over, I backed into my friend's driveway, dropping my child off to have her watch her. And her husband was working on his truck, and I sideswiped my car on his truck, and it was up on stilts or whatever. And he thought it was going to land on him. And that was the moment where I went, there's got to be a better way to do this thing, life, business, you know, personally and business. And so then I delved straight into self-development, thinking that that would be the answer, because it seemed like it was. And I did start to realize, oh, there's a different way this could be done. Not so frantic, not so stressed out, not so overwhelmed all the time. Started using some of the tools that I had learned. And then, I found myself in a divorce, and that divorce just sort of leveled me. I didn't really know what to do. So I had done all this self-development, but I started to recognize I didn't have any real like strategies that I could use to sort of get me out of that dark place that I was in. And so I started reading this book. It's called A Course in Miracles. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
So, yeah, I have a copy. Yeah.
And somebody had recommended it. And I was like, this is interesting. It's not really moving the needle for me.
It's a difficult read at first.
Yeah. And I was just like, so that was month one. So it's, you know, passage every day for a month. But then month two, what I recognized was all of a sudden these words started like popping up off the page. The path is joy. The answer is joy. I just kept seeing the word joy, joy, joy. And I was like, okay, literally like throwing my hands up in the air going, okay, I hear you. I got the message, but how do I get to the joy? And then a series of things happened. I got an email from a gentleman I'd met through another seminar company that was doing a seminar, and I bought it sight unseen. And as it turned out, it was a day-long seminar on a visualization process that he teaches. And I was so motivated. I came home from that and I started visualizing. And it was in that visualization that I found my joy. And so from that, everything just sort of lined up. It was, you know, I went back to train with him to teach a different seminar that he teaches. And I started teaching that and recognized in the first seminar I was teaching that this was my path. This was my purpose. This was the thing that was going to provide meaning in my life, was to help other people find their joy and learn some strategies to cultivating that daily, because I do believe it's our birthright to be in joy almost exclusively. And so recognizing that, and then I met the love of my life, and he lives somewhere else, and I met him under very strange circumstances, and I ended up moving. And so all these things happen. And in that evolution, I learned more and more, and I kept teaching more and more. And now for the last 4 years, I've been teaching people how to create what I call impenetrable joy, which is, rather than being in stress, anxiety, worry, or overwhelm, finding calm, peace of mind, and meaning and purpose in your life now and every day, because that's what we're supposed to be experiencing.
Wow. Okay. So that's a pretty miraculous story. Talk about Course in Miracles. Miraculous story, right? I mean, to go from this very, dark place, first to start on a new adventure, right? Starting this business. And then, you know, 10 years into it, to almost have this accident. I mean, I can only imagine that, just the thought of almost hitting someone is scary. It's like really frightening with your car. But that moment propelled you on this path to joy. I mean, it's crazy how this almost like near-death experience, really scary, was like the catalyst for this career that you're, this career path that you're on now, which is teaching people, other people, how to cultivate joy into their lives. That's just, I love that, that story. And I kind of want to talk a little bit more about the visualization, because that sounds like that was a key factor for you. Is that something you still practice?
Yes, absolutely. Every day.
So tell us about that. Like what, for the people who aren't familiar with visualization, can you tell us what it is and how you use it?
Yeah, so visualization is literally creating a movie in your mind of what you would like to see happen. Mm-hmm. And it has dual purpose, right? And so the visualization that I teach is really focused on the five senses, like getting so, like the movie you create is you in the movie, not you as the camera. Uh-huh. And I like to say a day in the life of all the things that you ever wanted, right? Not because it's about amassing things, or it's really about using your five senses to create an elevated emotional experience. Mm. And if you can create that elevated emotional experience, your body will remember it and you'll remember it. And so when you need it, you can recall it. But what I teach people is to start their day, you know, in the day in the life of everything you ever wanted, because we want what we want because of how we think we're going to feel when we have it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important about it. It's not about the thing. It's about the experience, the emotional experience. And so when I'm in my meditation visualization, I like tears of joy streaming down. I'm raising my arms in the air. I'm like, yes, this is happening and that's happening. And like, I am in it 100%. And that's where I discovered, ah, this is what joy is. There's these other nuances besides, you know, exuberance, but there's stillness and quiet, peace of mind. And in that process, you find that this life is meaningful on the day to day, on the hour to hour, versus waiting for the things, you know, oh, when I have this, I will feel good. When I, you know, at this level in my business or work, I will be happy all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And those are, that's what I call happiness. Joy is an internal experience. Happiness is based on external things. It's fleeting, cross the finish line. So proud of myself. And then it's the next thing. Joy is an internal experience where you begin to recognize that you aren't your thoughts, you aren't your emotions, that you can become the spectator of this life. And in that experience is the joy, is the, oh, I don't have to be beholden to people or circumstances anymore to feel good. I can just feel good now, regardless of what this out here looks like, what this movie looks like.
So the visualization is, it sounds like a type of meditation where you are creating, you're purposefully and intentionally creating a movie in which you're the star and you're just visualizing what you would want a typical feel-good day to be like. And visualizing that, you feel all the emotions that you would feel during this day. And that's what helps to cultivate the joy.
Absolutely. Because you can create, I mean, I use this example all the time. If I knocked on your door right now and I said, oh my gosh, you won the sweepstakes for, you know, brand new car. At first you would go to like, yeah, right. But when I handed you the keys and you looked out your window and you went, oh my God, there is actually a new car there. Wouldn't that elevate your experience?
Right. Yeah.
So regardless of what was happening right before I knocked on the door, if you were down in the dumps about whatever, things weren't working out exactly, or you're in the middle of a divorce or whatever, like you would go, oh my gosh, I got a brand new car. That's super exciting. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the experience, is creating that intentionally every day, so that not only you can start your place there, which is a pretty fantastic play to start, but also so that you can recall it, because the subconscious mind doesn't have any idea what's real and what we make up. So if we make up joy every day, guess what our experience is? Joy. It's sort of that simple. Although, you know, we have all this sort of baggage stuff that we've been carrying along all these years, and these, you know, very specific habitual patterns of thinking and acting. But when we can begin to recognize how powerful we are, when we get intentional with our mind, then it's a game changer. I mean, big time.
I was actually, talking to a meditation coach a few days ago, and we were talking about how everything starts with the thought, and how if you look around you, everything was created, right? And every creation started as a thought, and we totally forget how powerful our thoughts are. And I'm speaking for myself, I'm sure a lot of other people experience this. I get lost in my thoughts. It's almost like I'm hypnotized in creating all these stories about what might happen, or what happened 10 years ago, or what someone said, or trying to interpret the way someone looked at me. And in creating all those stories, it just makes me feel anxious and upset and frustrated. But if we do what you're doing, which is intentionally kind of taking control of the narrative and creating a story of joy and happiness and visualizing this, that's a complete game changer.
Yeah. And I want to add to that visualization one piece that is super important. And that is to not get involved in the hows. Like, how am I going to create this thing? How is this going to happen? It's all outcome based, right? So that you're not going, oh, my business is going to be, because the thing is if I, you know, oftentimes I'll have people in my classes or even clients, they'll go, well, I want my business to double by the end of the year or whatever it is. And I say, why is that? And they say, because I want more money. And I say, fantastic. If you won the lottery tomorrow, would that be okay? And they're like, yes. Oh, okay. So when we get involved with the house, that's not our business. Mm-hmm. The house is universe business. Mm-hmm. Our business is the what do we want, and why do we want it? And so when you are intentionally creating your day in the life, you want to be very clear about why you want it, who is it going to affect. All of those things matter, because that's intention. Intention is super powerful. And when we get intentional about why and what we want to create, guess what happens? It gets created.
Right. And thinking of the why you want something, you might actually discover that you really don't want it. Like, you might have wanted it because someone else wanted it for you, or you thought this was the right thing to do. You wanted it because this was what society was telling you is the thing you want, right? I think a lot of times we don't really think about why we want something.
Well, and I believe we want it because we think it's going to make us happy.
Yeah.
And so when we recognize that we can be happy now, that happiness is not location oriented, it is a decision, then the outside world doesn't even matter. It's like, you know, we can use that in a very different way, neutrally, like, oh, this is the outcome that happened. That's not exactly what I was hoping for. So where can I get intentional about my thoughts so that I can create intentionally versus going, oh, this is all happening, and pretending like it's happening at us or to us. Yeah. When we take the stance of responsibility in terms of our thoughts, recognizing how powerful we are at creating what's happening in our lives, then we can create what we want. We can uncreate things that don't feel good and create things that do feel good. And that's a simple explanation to something that is not always easy, right? It's just like meditation or visualization. It is a practice to recognize that we have past experiences that are shaping our outcomes, and not understanding that or recognizing that we're making decisions from those past experiences doesn't help us to create the future that we want. And so the process that I take people through is helping them recognize that, I mean, it's obviously, you know, your past certainly has had an effect. I mean, I don't think anybody would argue about that, but to what extent, we often don't recognize. And so I help people recognize the extent at which that story that sort of started this whole thing off for us, how to get distance from it and how to use the parts that are useful in creating a future that we like, and how to get distance from the parts that aren't serving, that have just shown us where healing and growth can happen, versus that being our experience over and over again, recreating from habit the same outcomes over and over again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to clarify that we're not saying that if you just think of all these wonderful, happy thoughts, like things just are like, I'm going to visualize today about my perfect day, and then magically it's going to happen exactly the way you visualized it. I think what it's about is you get that feeling, so you start to feel all of the emotions that you would want to feel in your typical day, and it's that feeling that kind of elevates you into a new, like, energy, so that you, when you go through your day already, like, propelled by this feeling, you're just open to more possibilities, and you're just, you know, and you start to notice things and thereby attract, just by noticing, opportunities into your life. And that starts to get the ball rolling as far as creating the life that you want.
Absolutely. And another piece of that the visualization that I didn't mention is, you want to create this visualization that is impactful and meaningful for you to create the elevated experience, and at the same time, be unattached to how it shows up, right? So that you're not going, it has to show up this way, person. I sort of alluded to it, but I wanted to get super clear, because oftentimes people will say, well, you know, I asked for this thing and it didn't show up. Mm-hmm. And actually they didn't recognize it showed up. It just showed up in a different way.
Right.
And so it's like, oh, it did show up. Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So again, when we leave the how part up to, you know, the powers that be, and we just focus on the why and the what, mm-hmm. and the elevated emotional experience, then those are the biggest pieces to creating this different experience, because we're in charge of how we experience this life, and we experience it through, like, filters and lenses that are based on the past events that have happened. And like you said, when we begin to recognize what's possible mm-hmm. by shifting, mm-hmm. then it's like a whole new world is available, you know, just so much more aliveness available in each moment.
Mm-hmm. An exercise I used to, well, sometimes I still do it with my students before they would write. Actually, every day would have them do this exercise. It's called free writing, where they just we take 5 minutes to just write whatever is on your mind. I don't read their free writes. It's just kind of like, I call it mentally vomiting, like getting all of the whatever out of your head. And sometimes while they were free writing, I would do visualization, but I would be writing down the story, and that would really help me get through my day. If I'm like intentionally writing this story about how I want my day, oh, these students are just so lovely and they are ready to learn, and I'm just enjoying myself and laughing. I mean, it just put me in that new headspace to thrive versus survive the day.
And as you keep practicing things like that, what happens is those other experiences just start to go away. Mm-hmm. See, in the past I used to, you know, like, it was always a run-in with a representative of, you know, the phone company, or, you know, a client or whatever. It's always like butting heads. That never happens to me anymore, ever. Like, I don't even, like, it's just not part of my world anymore.
Right.
I notice when people are maybe grumpy or gruff, and I send them, you know, I usually make up a story about it. It's one of the strategies that I teach. It's like, oh, that person is, you know, having a hard day, or they just found out their wife has cancer, or, you know, I make up these stories so that I can shift it off of my not having a good experience. Mm. And create space for them to have a better experience. Mm. And so in that process, it shifts off from me going, oh, I don't feel good because they're being, you know, short or curt or whatever. And I go, oh man, I wonder if they just found out, you know, that their husband got laid off, or, you know, and so when I make up those stories, it shifts the energy to them and holding space for them to feel better.
Yeah.
And then I feel better, which is just happens to be the byproduct.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great exercise, because a lot of times we take everything so personally, right? So if someone does, if we do have a run-in with, I don't know, a telemarketer or whatever, we usually say, oh, well, they look at the way they spoke to me. Like, why are they so mean to me? Like, they can't talk to me like that, or whatever it is. We don't really consider what their story might be. So that's a great, it just gives you that compassion and empathy. I like that. That's a great exercise.
You were saying that, you know, that writing exercise that you do with your students is so huge. Yeah. I do that with my clients in terms of that day in the life. I ask them to write it out, because sometimes people aren't as visual as others.
Right.
And so if you write it all out, then it's there. And I've even had clients that will read it and record it and then listen to it while they're doing their visualization, because it's their voice in their ears, which is the voice that they hear in their head.
Yes. Yes. That's a great exercise. You know what? I recently had, I was like, I have having a slump. I was just feeling horrible. And I was trying to pinpoint, like, what is happening? And so I did some free writing exercises where I just literally let all of the emotion out through my pen without stopping. And it, the voice, like after I read it, the voice that came out was sounded like my 11-year-old self that was very upset about my parents' divorce. And so I thought, well, how can I kind of like help myself just every day, kind of put myself in this new space? I didn't think about visualization like you do, Erin. But what I did think about is writing out the affirmations. I went through my journal, because every at the start of every year, I always write out my intentions and some affirmations for the year. And so I went through my journal and I found some affirmations I had written through. And so I recorded myself, on a voice recording, saying the affirmations, and I listened to them every morning. And that just really helps me, because as you said, it's your own voice, and it kind of puts me in that, in the energetic space to just enjoy the day. Like, you know, gives me one step ahead of if I hadn't done that, I just would probably wallow in my misery, right? Yeah. So it's very powerful, especially if you're an auditory person, to just hear.
Awesome. And I think, you know, we have so many thoughts swimming around in our head.
Yeah.
Just putting pen to paper, there's something cathartic about it. There's some healing that takes place while you're writing out. I mean, sometimes I'll do the same as you. I'll have clients just like, just, you know, on a subject that's really bothering them, just like write all the words. Doesn't have to make sense. Doesn't have to be in order. Doesn't even have to be spelled right. You can just write all the words out, so you can get it out of here. And it exists now in matter. It's like on a piece of paper, and maybe it goes away a little bit. And so we just do all these little practices to just help ourselves shift and shift and shift. And, you know, like you were sort of alluding to and talking about, you know, it's not a one and done type thing. It's not a, you know, it's a process, and it can take some time. But I promise you, freedom is on the other side of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It becomes part, I find it more effective when it becomes part of my daily practice. If I make a habit of doing it, just like I do with exercising, or with another habit I have, I can't think of any other habits I purposefully do, but every day, oh, juicing. I juice every day. Like if I purposefully make the affirmations like an every day, it just becomes habitual. And that really helps to kind of keep me elevated.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So give us some other tips, Erin, on how we can become more joyful in our lives. We have the visualization, right? We can do the auditory thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then that other one that strategy I was telling you about, where, you know, you're butting up against things, you just shift the energy to the thing or to the person. Huge. The other thing that I like to talk about is this. So one of the, we've talked a little bit about it, but for me, the process of, well, first of all, I believe that we are here to heal and grow as humans. Like that's why we're here. It's not to collect stuff or amass things or, you know, be rich or any of those things. And those things are wonderful. I got nothing against any of those things. Just the idea that those things will make you feel good, because they won't. They won't, maybe temporarily, but they won't in the long term. But recognizing that because we're here to heal and grow, that when we are having emotional reactions to things, those are our opportunities to recognize where healing and growth can take place. Mm-hmm. And so rather than looking at that person or that circumstance or situation as, you know, from the place of victim, which is this is happening to me or at me, or that person said this and made me feel this way, taking the responsible stance and going, oh, that person said this and I feel this way.
Yes. Yeah.
And because I feel this way, there's some healing for me there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not always just direct. Mm-hmm. It's not always like, you know, tit for tat. It can be more nuanced than that. And so just, you know, becoming in wonder and curiosity about what's happening for me right now. I'm in reaction. What's going on for me? And sitting with it, like, where is it located in my body? Because while the head and the body are attached, they're kind of not attached, if you know what I mean, because the thoughts will have you thinking all these crazy things, but the body knows, the body is wise. And so when we find ourselves in emotional reaction, we go, oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. This just happened. I'm freaking out. I wonder why that is. Where is that located in my body? Mm-hmm. And often it's, you know, one of three places. It's like your gut, right? Which is intuition, or your heart, which is like heartbroken or love related, mm-hmm. Or your throat. Like, I don't have a voice. I'm not being heard. And so recognizing that the process looks like, I'm agitated. I'm having an emotional reaction. It lives somewhere in my body. Let me get out of my head about it. Let me stop making up stories about what's going to happen or what did happen. Let me get into my body, which is present moment, which is where we want to be. That's where the sweet spot is. Mm-hmm. And go, okay, where does that live in my body? And then just sit there and just be curious about, oh, interesting. Not to find out where it came from or all of that. And some of that might come up, likely will, if you sit long enough in it, but to release emotional responses that are happening in our body. Because from a young age, we're not taught to be emotional. Mm-hmm. We're taught to stuff it down, tamp it down so that we don't disrupt others or make other people feel uncomfortable. And I say free flow on all the emotions, even when it is inappropriate, mm-hmm. you know, when we cry at inappropriate times or we raise our voice in anger or any of those things, have those things, apologize later. And because those things live in us on a cellular level, and if we don't take care of them, they grow into things like disease.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's not okay. And so recognizing that we can have emotions, that it's okay to have them, that sometimes they're inappropriate, that's okay too, you know, which is that compassion piece, right? It's like, be compassionate with others, be compassionate with yourself, allow yourself to experience what's going on. And being in the present moment is really, that's where true freedom is. And you had alluded to this, like, oh, I'm off, you know, I'm off in story all the time. And I do in my workshops, like I'll do a audio of a gong and I'll tell people, okay, I'm going to play this gong. I want you to hear it all the way from the moment it starts to the end. Mm-hmm. And then when you hear the gong again, listen to it all the way till it ends and then open your eyes. Mm-hmm. And I give people, I mean, sometimes I only give them like a minute between each one and just off to the races, the third brain, right? It's like, oh, wait, did I hear that gong all the way to the end? When is she going to do the next one, right? All the things. Some of it is nonsense, but when we begin to get emotional awareness about what is not nonsense in here, that voice that's talking to you and saying all the awful things, that's where we start to get healing and grow. So we have to have emotional awareness. And so that off to the races thought process is going on all the time. We're always everywhere else, but right here. Mm-hmm. And so we just train our brain to get right here. We just keep coming back to this moment and coming back until it becomes our norm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. When you were talking about like the purpose of life really is to heal and grow, I just recently read this book called Spiritual Partnership by Gary Zukav.
Oh my gosh. I love that book. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing book. Right. And that's one of the biggest lessons I got from the book was that I am responsible for my spiritual growth first, primarily me. And as you were saying, I've noticed that instead of blaming others for the way I feel, well, she did this to me, and so she's making me feel upset or whatever. Noticing my reaction and my feeling when she does it and taking responsibility and saying, okay, I felt this, but first, where in my body is this, right? And where have I, when have I felt like this before? And that opens the door for me to challenge, I think he uses the word in the book, to challenge the emotion or the fear, because really it's almost always fear-based. Like there's some type of fear that's underneath the anger or the jealousy or whatever it is. And that's where the growth happens, because now I'm taking responsibility to examine and challenge it and get down to the root of it instead of just blaming it on everyone else. Because when I put the blame on other people, it's like I'm giving them all the power over me.
Yes.
Right? But when I, and that's what he talks about, creating authentic power. But when I mm-hmm. challenge it, then it's like I have the power. If I'm truly committed to my spiritual growth and healing, like I can do that. I can make it happen and not rely on the behavior of someone else to make me feel better. It's powerful.
Yeah, because nobody else can. That's the piece that we don't hear about a lot. It's like, oh, this will make me feel better. That'll make me feel better. I'll take a bubble bath or whatever. And the reality is who's responsible for you feeling better is you. Mm-hmm. And you literally are the only one that can make you feel better. Mm-hmm. We've been taught from a very young age to get our validation externally.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was sitting in this, it was a webinar for parenting. Uh-huh. And it just, the light bulb went on when she said, instead of telling your kids that you're proud of them, ask them how they feel about their accomplishment. And I was like, oh my gosh, duh. Mm-hmm. You know, like we spent all this time going, you know, seeking out the certificate, the trophy, the I'm proud of you, the, you know, all the accolades. But the reality is the ones that truly matter are the ones that we feel internally about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we can heal that, then we no longer need anybody to validate us on any level. We get to just be who we are authentically.
Erin, I can't believe we are like out of time. I just keep talking and talking about this because it's life. I mean, keep saying game changer. It really is life changing when you start to look internally instead of looking externally. And I love how you said in the beginning that joy is internal and happiness is external. Right? Happiness means you're looking at things, the car, the house, the people, the whatever to make you feel happy, but joy is something from within that you can really cultivate by just really paying attention to your emotions and feelings and intentionally, right, looking to feel or intending to feel a particular way. It's just a topic that I don't think I could exhaust. So I am so appreciative and grateful for having this conversation with you. Can you tell us where we can find you?
I think the best place to find me is on Instagram. My handle is Erin, ErinMacLLC. Mm-hmm. And I post videos pretty weekly with strategies, a lot of some good stuff that we talked about today. This was hyper condensed, a lot of things to sort of unpack. I break it down into smaller pieces so people can sort of navigate them in a much less drinking from the fire hose situation. And my website URL is on there, and I love to engage in any kind of conversation. So DM me if you have a question or you're like, oh, that was interesting, I'd like to know more about that. And I always offer a free call when I'm on podcasts. Just, this is not a sales call. I'm not trying to get you to work with me unless that's what you want. Yeah. I just want to help people. I want to be in service of others. I want to help them get on their path to joy. And so definitely take me up on that if that interests you.
Well, thank you, Erin. And I want to give you the opportunity, if you have any closing words of wisdom, particularly for our encouragement, particularly for the person who just feels like they are in a downward spiral and it's really hard for them to even think of feeling good or joyful, or, you know, how do they take that first step toward joy?
So first I want to say that if the predominant experience that you are having is not one of joy, that is possible for everyone starting at this moment. Mm-hmm. The other piece I'd like to say is, if what I've said interests you, but I'm not interesting to you, there are plenty of people out there that can help you along your path, that are, you know, your tribe, that makes sense for you. Please keep seeking. Ask friends if it's, you know, YouTube videos or books or audio, anything. Just keep seeking. It is possible. You are not alone. We all have horrible things that don't feel wonderful in our life, and they can be rectified. So please don't stop seeking.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Erin.
I love Erin Mack's message of empowerment, that we are able to create joy in our lives, that we are able to create our lives, because it's so easy to get caught up in our minds. We're just kind of on autopilot, walking through life daily on autopilot, defaulting to all of the thoughts that run through our head, and kind of missing all of the opportunities that surround us, all of the opportunities for joy, all of the opportunities for success, all of the opportunities for spiritual growth. So if you're interested in learning more about Erin Mack and her coaching, then please visit her website. And in the meantime, oh, also follow her Instagram. And in the meantime, also visit zazo.com and sign up for my newsletter. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter at Ebony Haywood, and I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Motivation to Write. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next week when I talk to another fabulous guest. Oh, guest, not guess. Guest. Okay, bye-bye.